Please be seated. Sometimes on Thursday afternoons at Trinity, we run out of certain items at our food pantry. Thursday is the last day of the week we are open. And if it has been an especially busy week, we might not have onions or oranges or even potatoes. Of course, I have never ever seen us short of cabbage. When we deplete the supply of these fresh items, we offer substitutions. And I do not know of a time our cupboards have been bare, and essentially we rely on the abundance of God's grace and the generosity of the community to ensure we can meet the needs of those we serve. The pantry cupboards are like the stone water jars we hear about in this morning's gospel. They fill up, they get used up, and we need Jesus in our mix to keep them full. Arguably, this morning we have in front of us one of the most beloved and best remembered of Jesus' miracles. It is not an indication that Jesus approved of alcohol or that he disapproved of Jewish purification rituals or that we should save the best for last. It is a sign that in Jesus we have the joyous arrival of God's new age. I grew up in a household with a rich tradition of preparing way too much food and drink for guests. After parties and holiday events, we learned to be thankful, send folks home with paper plates loaded with food, and eat a lot of leftovers. In the diverse culture I lived in, to run out of food and drink meant shame for the family. And every event was carefully planned for lots of food. So in this morning's gospel, Mary's anxiety feels familiar to me. When she says to Jesus, "They have no wine," it is her compassionate attempt to save the bride and groom from embarrassment. The honor of the family is at stake. Now, some of us might be wondering just how much the stone jars held. Imagine a 20 to 30 gallon garbage can, and then picture six of them together, each full to the brim. Perhaps 150 or so gallons of wine, and really good wine, not two buck chuck. It is a miracle both of quantity and quality. It is lavish, so much more than the guests needed or even could drink. Can we appreciate the inverse ratio between the amount of wine that was needed and the abundance that was present? Or can we understand how Jesus reversed the pattern of saving the best for last? You know, I don't think I really grasp it because it is so unlike how I have been accustomed to the world's standards. Hold on, hold back, keep what's mine, I might run out. And am I the only one who in this room has ever had these thoughts? Probably not, because they come from a place deep within us. The place that finds it hard to trust God for all things. The place within our hearts where we wonder how God could possibly love us lavishly and without reserve, the way God does. The Hebrew scriptures teach that an abundance of wine symbolizes the arrival of God's kingdom. In the Gospels, marriage feasts are metaphors for God's kingdom. And in John's gospel, miracles are signs revealing something of who Jesus is. The season after Epiphany becomes the time the church and the world begin to see God as Jesus reveals God. God provides extravagantly, lavishly generous. The miracle is one of transformation and new possibilities. In the gospel, we get to see a profound progression this morning. The stone water jars are filled with water for purification rituals, and they become vessels of salvation. Ceremonial washings were an important tradition in first century Judaism. The people did not eat without washing their hands. And stone pots held the water because, unlike earthenware, stone did not become unclean. So the water remained appropriate for the ritual. Yet when you think about it, we have to wash our own hands. We have to pay attention to the ritual and make sure we are doing what we need to do to be acceptable. But if abundant wine is a sign of the arrival of God's kingdom, and we did nothing, not one thing, to fill those pots up, could it be that Jesus, on this third day, changes the water into wine, and then suddenly we have an epiphany? We remember the presence of the chalice, the cup of salvation, when we gather at every Eucharist. The gift of salvation arises from the action Jesus took, never ever from anything we did or we do. This is grace. And through Jesus, we no longer have to do anything to be acceptable, because we are accepted. And we can remember the theologian Paul Tillich's words, accept the fact you are accepted. Scholars differ on the meaning of the words the third day. Was it the third day after some event? Who knows? When I hear those words, and maybe when you hear them too, I think resurrection. I think of the empty cross and tomb, new life. Thus, each Sunday gathering in this place becomes like a wedding banquet. Love arrives in the form of bread and wine. We sing with joy and dance in our hearts, praising God for the glorious resurrection of Jesus and the potential we now have for new possibilities, transformation, all because of the generosity and faithfulness of God. So imagine how this community is like those stone jars, yet filled to the brim with gifts, talents, resources, skills, and room for still more. Imagine how the Holy Spirit transforms these gifts, transforms us to be used for the common good of all, including those depending on our generosity at pantry and hot lunch and all the rest we do. None of us have all the gifts, yet all that we need is here for others to have what they need. No, we do not want to save the best for the last, hoping those better days are going to come, because the better days are here, and the jars are full. We are full. The world waits for us to appear. In the eyes of the world, the transformation of our lives and our world might seem expensive, maybe even impossible. All we have to do is listen to the endless, mindless talk of those who want to reduce entitlements, slash Medicaid, and shrink food benefits. However, transformation in God's economy costs us nothing. All we do is respond with dedication and love for God. Our task is to lay aside the feelings that scare us, make us afraid and captive to scarcity, the feeling we do not have enough, to remember always God delights in us. And in the mystery of life in the Holy Spirit, as we participate in this community led by Jesus, while we worship and give and serve, we are filled. Ourselves, our souls and bodies become complete with the fullness of God. And in turn, we are able to pour ourselves out for the life of the world. So I believe that on any given Thursday, we will go to the cupboards at the pantry and find in them absolutely what we need to feed those who depend on us. Experience and faith teach that what is needed will be there. In the mix of a shortage of one item, we will find abundance of another. And we will not ever send anyone away without a bag or a box. In the same way, God's vast storehouse of abundance and grace opens to us when we hold out our hands and receive the cup of salvation, quenching our need for love. Amen.
Amen.